Thank you, Andrew. It is indeed a delight to be back here and to worship with you this morning. I was just saying to Andrew during the offering, it's such a joy when you preach, and the whole service prior to getting up to preach has kind of led up to what the service sermon is going to be about. So I feel like the ball is halfway down the field. I hope it'll be a touchdown by the time we get done. I'd like to have you turn to Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. And as you're looking that up, I just wanted to say a little bit about how I came to this passage and even this message. One of your former pastors, Bill Tuninga, and I have had the privilege the last 4 weeks to preach a series, a little mini-series of four sermons on building blocks of faith, and belonging is one of them. And when I gave my bulletin information to Andrew, he said, this will work perfect because there's a baptism, and I couldn't agree more. The actual inspiration for much of me looking at Isaiah again came at the end of January when I had the privilege for the first time in my life to attend the worship symposium. I think you were there and a few others from your church, Andrew, where a number of speakers dealt with the latter part of the book of Isaiah, dealing with these themes of being in exile and then God restoring his people. And so I just want to at least acknowledge some indebtedness to people like Richard Mao and Thomas Long and Mary Hulst, who unpacked some of these themes of Isaiah through not just sermons, but through worship and litany and new songs. And it was a beautiful inspiration for me to pick up one of my favorite passages in Isaiah, and that's the one we're going to read now. Listen to the word of the Lord. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, I'm your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba for in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give nations in exchange for you and peoples in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up. And to the south, don't hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Friends, a few weeks ago in the Vancouver Sun, they carried an article about some high school kids in Langley who are homeless. Now, these are not kids who sleep in cardboard boxes on the streets, but they couch surf at homes of their friends, or they try to find shelters that'll take them in, and in Langley, at least, there's none for people under 19 years of age. And these high school kids do not have a sense of belonging anywhere. Home is not an option for them, and they're just really lonely. That article really struck me. Also in the news, and we prayed about it this morning, the refugee crisis in Europe is now focused on trying to send people back to Turkey, because European countries have shut down their borders. And for many who have fled war, whose homes are literally obliterated by bombs, they don't feel like they have any place to belong. I mean, talk about feeling incredibly alone and this reality that you don't belong anywhere. It must be incredibly difficult. These two examples, friends, illustrate, I think, one of the most important needs of human beings, and that's that sense that you belong. Two of our grandchildren joined their family not through birth, but through adoption. These two little girls are not sisters, but they were found as infants on the streets of different cities in China, and they came into John and Anne's family as orphans. And as I see how John and Anne are now have embraced them into their family with their other three kids, the thought has come through my mind once in a while, I wonder when these girls get older, what they will think about this experience. Will they ask themselves, who am I? Where did I come from? Was there something wrong with me? Why was I abandoned? And will my parents now at some point abandon me? And so the focus in that home right now is on developing this deep sense of belonging with these two little girls. Adoption, as you know, is a metaphor that the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians to remind us that this is the process by which we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. We are adopted as His children. And this morning, we saw this beautiful example of that through the sign and seal of baptism, the sign and seal of belonging to God. And that's an amen from Thomas. Wonderful. I don't know if you've ever noticed, those of you who are parents with little kids reading stories to your kids, or maybe as grandparents reading stories to your grandchildren, that many of the heroes in our culture today, even through stories, are orphans. People who have an identity crisis. Where do I belong? Without a family, they feel invisible. They're alone in the world. They need to fend for themselves. And so stories like Cinderella, Anne of Green Gables, Tom Sawyer, Harry Potter are all examples of that. I think there's something that really resonates with all of us when we think of people who are estranged from each other and even estranged from God. Deep down, it has something to do with this sense of belonging. I would dare say that probably for all of us sitting here this morning, this sense of belonging is something we've all struggled with at one time or another. All of us wonder if we belong. We try really hard to fit in. There are people who struggle with intimacy and this sense of belongings. I think of university students who maybe at the beginning of this year, I know it's just ended, but who came to campus and they didn't know anybody. Strange university. And so they try to hang out with a party crowd or the drinking crowd or the sports crowd or the arts crowd. And sometimes they can't find it in any of those crowds, so they just go into their room and they play video games and they study. Because the fact is, they don't have any friends. They feel they don't belong. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing, what you're doing with your Mosaic ministry, the ministry to international students who may feel this particularly. In fact, there may well be people in this church who hear the invitation to join us for coffee after the service in the fellowship hall, but they hesitate to go in because they don't know anybody. And they tried it once, perhaps, hoping that somebody would engage them in a meaningful conversation that would create a sense of hope that possibly this is a congregation where I can find some new friends. Or they leave because it was simply too hard to get into the conversation circles. We all want to belong. And friends, you can have a great church like you do here with great worship and great preaching, but if you don't feel like you belong, if you never have anybody who knows you so well that they'll say to you sometimes, "How are you doing? Really, how are you doing?" If you don't feel connected that way, it's often very hard to also feel connected to God. That's why belonging is such a first step of discipleship, of faith even, knowing that. Isaiah 43 talks about God's people who didn't feel like they belonged anymore. As exiles, they were forced into Babylon. They didn't feel like they belonged there for sure. And what's worse, they don't feel like they belong to God anymore either. Now, that feeling didn't happen overnight, of course. In fact, the first part of Isaiah, we read about God's people being taken away into exile because of their lack of faith practice. They didn't know God anymore. They didn't follow his word and laws, and they were taken into exile as judgment. And instead of Babylon invading Israel and taking over the land, like ISIS has done to parts of Syria, for example, or Iraq, Israel was led away. They became captives in Babylon. And the first half of Isaiah is really written to people who are in captivity. And now in the latter half, God is preparing to bring his people back again. And that's the context of the verses we read this morning. And God needs to assure his people that he hasn't forgotten them, that they still matter, that they still belong to him. But, you know, it's been more than 50 years. And many of these people have forgotten some of the rituals that help them with their sense of belonging. Rituals like temple worship or feast days or the weekly rhythms of Sabbath. In exile, they were stripped of all of that. They were stripped of their identity, in fact. And they're now in a place where they don't belong. And they used to have a relationship with God, but that was then, and this is now. It's faded. Maybe that describes some of you here this morning. You used to have more of a vibrant relationship with God, but it's kind of faded away a little bit. And you wonder. You wonder, do I really belong here to this church? You wonder maybe, do I belong to God? And the reason you wonder this is because life has a way of giving us some reality checks that aren't always very pleasant. Maybe some of you thought about it this morning when you witnessed Abe and Danielle bringing Thomas up for baptism, and it reminded you of the time that you stood here with your son or daughter. And then you gave your child a Christian education, and you taught them to pray, and they were members of the youth group here at New West. But some of your children have let it all go. Now, God hasn't let go of them. They still belong, but they themselves don't feel it right now or experience it and maybe don't even want it. Some of you have made vows in profession of faith publicly here. You didn't know everything back then, but you wanted to be committed, and you were. But your life of faith, it was sometimes hard to sustain it. To have a relationship to God, as in any relationship, you need to put a little effort into it. And as we heard this morning when Thomas was presented, you didn't need to do anything to get this sense of belonging. That's just, God starts that, he initiates it. But someday Thomas will have to do something to grow his faith in Christ as well. But like Israel in our text, sometimes because of life or whatever, you don't feel like you belong anymore. And if you have your Bible open, there's a few verses just prior to our text that talk about what happens when you lose this sense of belonging. Verse 21 of 42, it pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteous to make his laws great and glorious, but this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prison. And he goes on about God's people who didn't follow his ways anymore. And it's not very pretty. But then comes Isaiah 43. But now, says God, something's going to change. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine, you belong to me. And in these few verses, what God's really doing is giving God's people in exile a very short but potent history lesson of all that he's done for his people. He starts with Abraham, calling him out, creating a whole new people. I formed you into a people, says God. You were like no other nation around you. You were unique, you were special. I created you to look different from the nations around you, so I gave you all these laws, special laws about what you should eat, and laws about how you should conduct business, and how you should cleanse yourself, and laws about how you should treat the stranger and the foreigner within your gates. I spelled it all out for you because I created you, I formed you as a unique people. And then he goes on, he says, I redeemed you. And the word that's used in the Old Testament here is this word goel, kinsman redeemer. It's another word for belonging. And the best way to explain that word is simply to remind, and I think most of you are familiar with the story of Ruth in the Bible. Ruth was a Moabite, married an Israelite man who died without leaving any children, so she was a widow. She came to live with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back in Israel, but she was a nobody, a refugee. Didn't belong to anyone, really. She was very vulnerable. And then, you know the story. Boaz decides he'd like to marry her, and he goes through the process to find somebody who might be closer related, because the Lord had said in his word that a situation like this happened, the brother of the man who died should marry the widow so that she would keep her place in the community. And in the end, Boaz marries Ruth, and she belongs again. Now, God uses that word, that concept, to describe what he will do for his people. He says, I'm stepping in to redeem you. You who feel like you don't belong, I've claimed you as my own. Friends, why this idea of belonging is so critical to faith formation and continued discipleship, because everything else really flows out of it. It's important to know about God and not just make up things about God. But this sense of belonging is so critical because sometimes it's the only thing you've got left to hang on to. I mean, look at verse 2. The text says, when you pass through the waters or through the rivers, I am with you. You notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you pass through the waters, it says when. The Bible's pretty clear that belonging to Jesus does not make you immune from suffering or sickness or even death. So when you're in over your head, says God, know that I'm with you. When you become overwhelmed by family issues and relationships that go south, when sickness feels like somebody has just pulled the rug from underneath you, I'm with you. When you suddenly find yourself employed because the company you worked for was bought out by another one and you lost your job, I'm with you. When you're overwhelmed by financial struggles of needing to buy a house in this crazy Vancouver housing market, and wanting to put your kids through Christian school and wanting to support kingdom causes, know that I am with you. And when you can no longer reach one of your children because of depression or addiction, know that I am with you. When you lose a spouse to cancer, I am with you. Isaiah goes on, when you go through the fire, it won't touch you. You won't even smell like smoke. It'll be a crisis, but you'll withstand, and eventually you'll come through on the other side because I'm with you. Isaiah, I think in that imagery, reminds the people in exile of Daniel and his three friends, stripped of their identity, even their names, and yet they remain steadfast in their faith. Even when it's severely tested, they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow the knee to the king of Babylon and give their spiritual allegiance to him. When you go through the fire, says Isaiah, it will not set you ablaze because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Verse 3, I love you so much, I'll give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. I've often wondered what those verses meant. I think what's happening here is God is reminding them how he's always been with his people. And he's saying to them in Babylon, I need you to go back in history to remind you how I've always been a God who's come through for you. When Israel was in bondage in Egypt, God delivered them in a powerful way through the 10 plagues. And every Egyptian lost a firstborn son, an event which set Israel free. And now God is reminding his children who are again in slavery of a new exodus. He's going to bring them out of exile. He says, last time I gave you Egypt, now I'm doing more. I'm giving you Ethiopia and some other countries. I'm throwing them in for the price of keeping you, of loving you, of redeeming you. I've called you by name, so don't be afraid. And then I love verses 5 through 7. It's going to be like a big family reunion. God's saying through the prophet, this is what I'll do to bring us all back together again. Friends, you here at New West Church are a family, and you belong to God and you belong to each other. Don't ever forget that. I have the privilege right now, as some of you do in this church, of working with the resettlement of a Syrian family in our community in Langley. And I still remember when we brought the Al-Masri family into their apartment that we had rented and furnished for them before they even sat down on the couch. They looked at us and they said, can you help get our children who are still in Damascus out? They have a daughter there with two children who are trapped in the city. Her husband's, they don't know where he is. Can you reunite us with our family? Because we want to be together. We belong together. And it just struck me how this sense of belonging runs so very deep. And friends, that's what Jesus did for us. We belong to him, and he brings us together. And maybe, as I said, there's some here this morning who don't feel like you belong. Maybe you know people in this church or who used to belong who feel like they're on the margins without much hope. And Jesus, your Redeemer, says to you, you belong to me. I've got you covered. I'll do what it takes to bring you home. And this time it's not going to be nations who are going to suffer, but God himself suffers by sending his own son to be our Redeemer. That's what it cost him, the life and death of his own son. And now, as his children, he sends us as his disciples with that same task and calling of bringing others in. Sometimes you may have asked, would anybody care or notice if I left this church? I think we need people in this congregation to say to others, you know, I read in the bulletin that you lost a loved one or that you've been in the hospital. How's it going? Tell me your story. because you matter. Can you imagine if we all practiced that a little bit more deeply? As you leave here, I don't know what door you're going to leave by, but if you walk by the mailboxes, you'll notice there's some mailboxes that have a lot of mail in them. And you can walk right by and think it's none of your business or it's the elder's business to maybe make a mail call on those who haven't shown up for a while. Or you could say, you know, they're part of this church and so am I, so I'm going to phone one of them up this week and remind them that they belong. Friends, the God to whom you belong sends us His Spirit to empower us to do the things that don't come natural and that are actually quite hard for us to do, even like making a phone call. 3 weeks ago, Sue and I were visiting our son and his family in Nova Scotia. And during our stay there, we had supper with some friends who invited us for a midweek evening meal. And these friends of ours there had also invited another person for supper, a man of the church community who had lost his driver's license because he had been caught driving under the influence. And I was told later that when that event happened, our host called him up, he's known him for years, and he said, "John, I heard what happened. I just want you to know we're here for you. Whatever you need, we're here for you so you can get some help with your drinking." And that man's now in recovery. But what I thought was so beautiful, and it was so simple really, was this invitation to dinner midweek to a church family member who could have easily thought, "I don't belong anymore because I screwed up big time." And instead he felt included. Even on his road to recovery, felt included with fellow members. And you see, that's how God treats us. Why would we do any less with each other? "I created you," says God. "I formed you. I redeemed you. I called you by name." And friends, that invitation, that reminder goes out to all of us here this morning. Some of us who are doing pretty well in our lives, and those of us who aren't. It's a reminder for all of us who have some kind of DUI, some way that we've messed up our lives, a reminder that we belong. Don't you want to belong to a church community that lives that out? Hopefully that's your experience here at New West. And I just want to invite you to make that reality something very real in this church. God says, "I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I called you by name. You are mine. You belong to me." You know, there's a statement in our confessions that many of you have committed to heart. Andrew mentioned it a little while ago. Heidelberg Catechism, written 450 years ago by two 20-something guys called Zach and Casper. And we're going to say those words together as a way of imprinting the truth of this message deeply into our souls. I invite us to stand. I'll say the question and let's respond with the answer. Friends, what is your only comfort in life and in death? "That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly ready and willing from now on to live for Him."